You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
It is hump day, Locked On Broncos fans all across the globe. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos nationally, as well as writer, contributor over at predominantlyorange.com, covering all things Denver Broncos. Rocky Mountain Thunder approved. We're back here for another episode of Locked On Broncos, and we're going to talk about a very, very special thing here today. Obviously, 2 years ago on this day, history was made. The Denver Broncos hoisted the Lombardi Trophy in the air. Peyton Manning, Von Miller, and obviously John Elway saying, this one's for Pat. You got a little bit of an opening of that here in the entrance of Locked On Broncos. But hey, that was 2 years ago today. We're going to revisit that. We're going to jump into a flashback of that time and that place and the memories we had of Super Bowl 50. On this day, that's what we talk about. And obviously some Broncos news and some speculation we want to talk about, obviously, regarding Paxton Lynch's future with the Denver Broncos. We talk about that here on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos. But before we get to all that, I want to take the time to tell you guys about what we have going on over here at the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, go follow my man Adam Mattis over at Locked On Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets are on a roll in the last three games, beating Oklahoma City at home in a phenomenal game, Gary Harris buzzer beater, and then beating the Warriors at home. Unbelievable showing in what was the game of the year at Pepsi Center. Sold out crowd, playoff atmosphere, phenomenal game, and then dismantling, obviously, the Hornets on Monday. Well, the Denver Nuggets are getting ready to travel to Houston on Friday to take on the Rockets, and that's going to be a tough game. The last time the Denver Nuggets went down to Houston to play the Rockets, it was a blowout loss on the road. But I think this Nuggets team is a little different. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things playing into it now. Tomorrow is the NBA trade deadline, and Adam Mattis has you covered at Locked On Nuggets on all the latest news and updates. Who's going to be a new Denver Nugget? Which member of the Denver Nuggets is going to be traded by the deadline tomorrow? Could we see Kenneth Faried offloaded, Wilson Chandler? Could we see Marcus Smart in Denver? Could we see a big name trade tomorrow at the NBA deadline? I'm very excited. A lot of people are getting impatient on the Twitter sphere about the NBA trade deadline, but guess what? Most of the deals happen on the day of the deadline, not before. You see some deals, but they're not the big deals. So very excited about that. Adam Mars will have you covered on all that stuff over there, Locked On Nuggets. And be sure to check out my man Mark Schofield over there at Locked On Patriots. Now, the Patriots are making headlines for all the wrong reasons here. Losing Super Bowl 52 to the Falcons. Not the Falcons. The Eagles, another bird. The Eagles, Super Bowl champions, enjoying their offseason now. Josh McDaniels in the headlines for shunning the Indianapolis Colts and staying in New England. Have to wonder what the ploy is there. Is Bill Belichick going to retire, or is Robert Kraft going to hand Josh McDaniels the keys to the kingdom once Bill Belichick leaves Foxborough for good? That's the question mark. But obviously, the Patriots in headlines, as always. Rob Gronkowski contemplating retirement. Mark Schofield has you covered over there. Locked On Patriots, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So let's revisit Super Bowl 50. Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you. You know, I talked about it as we prepared for the Super Bowl 52 festivities for the Eagles and the Patriots. And I tell you what, if you don't have a dog in the fight in the Super Bowl, it's a lot easier to be kind of relaxed and laid back. But I tell you what, back in 2015, when the Broncos were facing the Panthers in Super Bowl 50, I was so focused, so stressed out, so anxious. It was different. It was miserable. It is miserable being a fan and watching your team in the Super Bowl. You want to know how I felt? You want to know exactly how I looked during that game? Go back and watch Super Bowl 52 and look at Bradley Cooper the entire time of the game. That guy, Silver Linings Playbook, he lived it out, man. You have to wonder if they were filming a sequel of the Silver Linings Playbook, because they had Bradley Cooper there, and the Eagles are a big, big portion of him, obviously. It was amazing, though. I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, it was the greatest feeling in the world when your team goes to the Super Bowl and wins it. Now, leading into this game, it was unbelievable. The amount of disrespect that the Denver Broncos had received from the national media, it was kind of insulting. It was almost a slap in the face of what the Denver Broncos' legacy is as an organization, with as many Super Bowl appearances as they've had over the years, the amazing tenure they've had under Pat Bowlen as the owner, John Elway taking over and the organization really thriving. Now, the Broncos struggled in 2016 due to injuries, and then they also struggled this year completely due to not injuries. It was just unorganization. This was the first year in a long time where John Elway-led team here in this Denver Broncos tenure since he took over in 2012. It's just been very frustrating just this 1 year. So, you know, there's always a lot of criticism for the Denver Broncos and John Elway, and people saying, oh, he drafts terrible, and John Elway is one of the worst executives. You weren't saying that 2 years ago when he won. Not he won, but he helped facilitate and put together a team that won Super Bowl 50. He was directly on that. And many people during that time wanted to praise John Elway, and then all of a sudden when things are bad, you want to obviously get mad and throw eggs at John Elway's house. I don't understand that. John Elway has done a phenomenal job with the Denver Broncos, and trust me, John Elway is not happy about this entire season. And I think they're working on it. I think the Broncos front office and organization are doing whatever they can right now to prepare whatever they're going to do to obviously stock up and get a quarterback and get a right tackle and address some other areas of significant improvement on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And I think a lot of it, too, also starts with special teams. And there's a guy we're going to talk about here this week, Isaiah McKenzie. I saw something today that made me just kind of reminisce about the nightmares I had with Isaiah McKenzie returning punts. We'll talk about him later on this week. But, you know, John Elway's done a phenomenal job. You have to give John Elway credit. He's doing phenomenal in terms of what Pat Bowlen would want for this organization and this franchise. So, diving into our Super Bowl flashback recap, I want to know where you guys were during this. Tweet me at @CodyRourkeNFL. Tweet me where you were when the Denver Broncos won Super Bowl 50. And also, another part, did you go to the Super Bowl parade? Because I know I did. I know I took the day off of work, traveled all the way to Denver, and I tell you what, the gathering of over a million people was phenomenal. I'll talk about that towards the end of the show here. But going back to the Super Bowl matchup, the Denver Broncos were getting a lot of disrespect from the national media, a lot along the lines of them saying that the Carolina Panthers, who had the NFL's best offense at the time and NFL MVP, Cam Newton leading the way, and just a dominant season. They had a dominant defense as well. And so on paper, you look at this game and you look at, well, the Denver Broncos defense is good. Can they stop Cam Newton? Well, the Denver Broncos offense isn't that good. The Carolina Panthers defense is going to have a field day against them. Well, the game turned out very well, in my opinion. Now, the Broncos came out aggressive early with, obviously, Peyton Manning. Two straight passes to Owen Daniels, man. I tell you what, Owen Daniels was such an unsung hero for the Denver Broncos in 2015. He was a key catalyst towards the success of them getting to the playoffs and even getting to the Super Bowl. Let's not forget his two touchdown catches against the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. I have those two games on a USB drive that I have plugged into my computer, and time to time I'll go back and I'll watch them and break it down, man. I tell you what, the energy, if you go back and watch the AFC Championship game and you go back and you watch Super Bowl 50 and you compare it to the on-field product from the Denver Broncos this year, there was just a different type of hunger in that 2015 team. That 2015 defense for the Denver Broncos is, and this is not me being biased, okay, all Locked On Broncos and, you know, Denver Bronco bias aside, that 2015 defense was one of, if not the best defense in NFL history, and they single-handedly won the Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 against the NFL's best offense and obviously the powerhouse that year in Cam Newton. And going back and watching that game, I tell you what, I was so nervous. But having the Broncos come out on that first drive, move the ball down the field, CJ Anderson being able to run very well, and obviously having to settle for a field goal, you go up, that's great. Well, the Denver Broncos defense had, you know, forced a three and out on the Panthers for a series, and at that point, that was great. Well, the Broncos couldn't get anything going. They punted, and guess what? Here comes Von Miller, strip sack. Cam Newton loses the ball. It's scooped up in the end zone by Malik Jackson and DeMarcus Ware. Touchdown, Denver, up 10-0, and at that point, the energy was flowing. The Denver Broncos at that point, and I was truly confident at that point with the amount of momentum and energy and swagger that that team had, they were not going to lose, and they were not going to back down to Cam Newton. They got after Cam Newton. They were aggressive. Wade Phillips called a phenomenal game as a defensive coordinator, and it was arguably the best offseason, postseason stretch for the Denver Broncos in a lot of years, since 1997, 1998, when they won the Super Bowl back-to-back. Now, I tell you what, that game right there, the one moment I'll never forget is just how tenacious that defense was at getting to Cam Newton. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller combined for 4.5 sacks that game. Wade Phillips did a phenomenal job of mixing a lot of disguises. Now he'd show a bare front and obviously, you know, move Von Miller around a little bit and a lot of different twists from the tackle position. Obviously, A-gap, B-gap stunts. Now, DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller on the opposite edges of one another was one of the best tandems in recent memory, and the Denver Broncos missed that in 2016. Well, they got a little bit of that with Shane Ray when he was fully healthy. Shane Ray had 8 sacks in 2016, and Von Miller had obviously a great year as well. But you know, you go back and you watch the tape, 2015, I just can't explain how different of an animal the Denver Broncos were at that time. And Chris Harris Jr., you had Kayvon Webster, a guy who stepped up big time. You had, you know, David Bruton, who unfortunately didn't get a play in that game due to having that, you know, injury. He had to be shut down, but I guess he was able to come back during that week, but the Broncos chose to keep him on injured reserve. That was tough, because then David Bruton went on to go to Washington, and now he's retired from the National Football League. And the Broncos had just a pillar of guys that were very solid key contributors. You had Kayvon Webster, you know, obviously Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, you know, Darian Stewart, T.J. Ward. T.J. Ward had a phenomenal game, had a huge interception, and obviously had the fumble recovery late in the game after Von Miller strip-sacked Cam Newton once again, and C.J. Anderson punching in that touchdown against Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, and I tell you what, and then Peyton Manning hitting Benny Fowler for the two-point conversion to put the Denver Broncos up 24-10. I've got the newspaper clippings here in my studio. I'm adding to all my studio elements. I just moved my computer studio set up into a different room, and so it's coming along very nicely. I'll definitely tweet a picture of it, but all my stuff in my room is more combined with Super Bowl 50 and a lot of Broncos stuff on the walls, and I tell you what, just brings back a good time. And obviously a Super Bowl 50 ring, that's what I got. I bought a Super Bowl 50 ring, not one of those knockoff versions. This was a real, you know, very close to the exact same one, a little cheaper deal than the one that they got. Phenomenal for Peyton Manning. And I tell you what, that was the game where Peyton Manning rode off into the sunset. And what a historic season. I've got the Super Bowl Journey DVD here right next to me, actually, ironically. I might just watch that here tonight. If you have it, I encourage you to put it in and also check it out as well. But, you know, the thing that I remember is just the amount of adversity Peyton Manning had faced that year, you know, coming into the season under a new system with Gary Kubiak. And realistically, the offensive system wasn't fitting what Peyton Manning was used to. Peyton Manning was very limited in the Gary Kubiak system and had the ability to open up from time to time, but more along the lines, it was under Gary's same stuff, and so the defense won the Denver Broncos a lot of games. And this was a game where Peyton Manning didn't have to play perfect, but I tell you what, after coming in week 17 against the Chargers and managing the game, that was amazing. And obviously stepping up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, he didn't play his best game. The offense didn't play their best game. The defense came up very big for the Broncos against the Steelers. They go on to, you know, face the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and that was a nervous game for me. But they come out on fire. Peyton Manning comes out. He runs for a 12-yard pickup for a first down. He throws two touchdown passes in the first half to Owen Daniels, and he manages the game well enough, doesn't turn the ball over. The defense is phenomenal, and the Broncos hold on against the Patriots. And then Peyton Manning comes into this game, and he manages the game. That's all you needed from Peyton Manning in this situation. When you had a defense of the stature that the Denver Broncos had, you could just manage the game, and that's what he did. And I tell you what, having him host that Lombardi Trophy up in the air, I tell you what, I knew at that point Peyton Manning was done. And when Peyton Manning retired, man, it shattered my heart because he's a pillar. He's a pioneer of football. And the NFL is not the same without him. Now, I hope to see him in the broadcast booth next year, ESPN, Monday Night Football. That would be a dream come true for me. I think it would be a gift to all football fans. We've been blessed with Tony Romo's commentary and analysis of the game. And I can't even imagine what it would be like with Peyton freaking Manning back there. So this was a game, it meant everything. The whole entire season for the Denver Broncos in 2015, that could be made into a Hollywood movie because that's exactly how it was. It was a storybook ending, riding into the sunset for Peyton Manning and obviously John Elway hosting the Lombardi Trophy up saying, "This one's for Pat." That meant everything. I was so excited, but the entire game until the game, the clock hit 0-0-0, and I knew for sure the Broncos won. I was on the edge of my seat. I was nervous. I had my fingers plugged in my ears, and I was laser focused on the screen watching it. I stayed off Twitter. I stayed off Facebook. It just brought back a lot of good memories. So I figured it would be good here on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos to kind of relive such a special memory. 2 years ago on this day, Broncos win Super Bowl 50. Now, the following week, man, I planned it out. My friend from Oregon, he was in Utah. He drove down. He's a huge Broncos fan. He drove and picked me up, and we went to Denver that day, and we got there. And I tell you what, you could not get into any of those city trains or trolley carts or anything like that because every single one was full. But we ended up getting there, got to see Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, John Elway, all of them on their floats. And the weird thing was you got to see Vernon Davis by himself. That was certainly something interesting. But it just united, obviously, down to the Capitol. And everybody was standing outside. All the Broncos players were out there. Wade Phillips, the governor, and just a million fans. And I got a lot of videos, a lot of good memories out there. If you were out there, you got to share that with me, and I got to share that with you. And it was very special. There was 1 million people there, and a lot of people called in sick from work, including myself, and I wouldn't have traded it for the world. You don't miss a Super Bowl parade. I'm sorry, you absolutely don't. It was definitely amazing, and there were no incidents. That's the one thing I really appreciated about Broncos fans, is that there were no incidents. Everybody came together. Everybody had orange on. You went to the bar, you had a drink, and everybody was wearing orange, their jerseys, and everybody was happy. It was a great time, and we look forward to getting back to that here in Broncos country. I guarantee you, 2018, it's going to be the start. I trust John Elway. I trust the Denver Broncos right here, right now. Whoever we're going to get at quarterback, they're going to be entrusted by Bill Musgrave and John Elway to get the job done. We'll see. And if things don't work out, you can imagine we're going to have a new coach after 2018 if Vance Joseph can't get the job done. But I'm just excited for the journey ahead. A lot of uncertainty coming up with free agency. We don't know. We're just a month away from free agency and obviously a month and a half away from the draft. We just don't know what's going to happen, and we're just going to be sitting here waiting until something pivotal happens, and I guarantee you it's going to be great for the Denver Broncos going forward into 2018 and beyond. This organization is set in a win-now mentality. We're not going to rebuild. We're not going to wait to be good. We're not going to be waiting to win. It's a win-now mentality, and that's what I love about John Elway. I trust he's going to get it done, and I believe he's going to get it done. So Locked On Broncos fans, hang in there. Enjoy Super Bowl 50. If you get a chance to go back and watch it, I really suggest you do. Go watch Inside the NFL Super Bowl 50. It's going to make you miss Peyton Manning. It's going to make you miss the nastiness, the grittiness of that team. But I'm going to go relive that right now, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode, Locked On Broncos, here on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos, and follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. I look forward to speaking with you guys. Send me your tweets. If you went out to the Super Bowl parade, send me your photos, your videos, your recap. We'll retweet it, and we'll talk about it on the show here tomorrow. Locked On Broncos. Once again, this is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.